Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out our website, lifechurchohio.com, or look us up on Facebook. Search Life Church Ohio. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Looks like I'm working out later. But I am excited. God continues just, God is so good. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about today, that if we are available, what a great word. If we are available to God, He is going to continue to pour out on us everything we need. He's going to give us all the wisdom, all the grace, all the strength, all the everything, all the love to love the unlovable. You know, those people that maybe we're not loving as we should. God, if we are available, He is going to empower us to accomplish His will and to live lives that are full of life. So just a great worship this morning. Thank you, worship team, for doing that with us, for us, and for Him especially. Let me pray. I'm a little scattered this morning, a little tired. I'm anticipating Snowmageddon coming and just not sure how I'm going to react. But, well, Lord, we just, as we always say, God, come Holy Spirit. We just invite you into this place right now, Lord. Thank you that you've been here all week, and you've been preparing this message for your people, God. So we just take a deep breath, God, just to breathe you in. We say, come fill this place, and especially, God, come fill us. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. Just come and be present this morning as we seek to engage with you, learn about you, and to worship you, God. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. Yes. All right. Before we get too far into this, I want to just kind of pray for our tithes and offerings. This is a continuation of our worship, and we worship God with song, and everything and all things that we do, we offer Him our first fruits of everything we have. And one of those ways that we do that is we offer the first fruits of our finances, knowing that God can do more with our 90% than we could ever do alone with our 100%. Amen? That's just the way He works. It's His promise. You can take that literally to the bank, that if you're willing to give your tithes and offerings, He promises He's going to pour out on you, give you everything you need to glorify His kingdom with your finances. And we just want you to know that we take your tithes and offerings very seriously here. We are as good a stewards as we can be. We take care of this family especially, as Scripture calls us to. But also we give to different ministries throughout Lancaster and the surrounding area, knowing that they're doing God's work as well. So just know that your finances are going to great things. So Lord, we give you our tithes and offerings. We give you our first fruits of our finances, Lord. As symbolic, as literal and symbolic, just saying that your kingdom comes first in our lives, God. We just ask that you would bless where those finances land, God. And thank you too, God, that you are going to bless us for our generosity. We are on your team, God, and this is all about you. Just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're watching online, you can go ahead and go to, if you're probably already there, or if maybe you're on YouTube, but go to lifechurchohio.com, and you can click on a couple different things there. You can find, Laura would know exactly where, but I don't. But go to that website, and you can find out where to give online. Or if you're here in the building, there's a box in the very back. You can just drop your tithe checks in there, or you can give online as well. Well, as Michelle kind of alluded to, we've been talking a little bit about revival. But specifically in the words of, we started with the word consecrate. That's a fancy church word that just means setting yourself apart for holy and wonderful godly things. And so God asks us to consecrate ourselves. Set yourself apart from the patterns of the world. Wow, that sounds good already, right? Regardless of where you go from there, if we can set ourselves away from the patterns and the chaos and the drama of the world, set ourselves apart for godly things. That's called consecration. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to consecrate ourselves to God, as Scripture says, because tomorrow God's going to do amazing things for us when we do. Another thing we did from there is after we're consecrated, we're setting ourselves apart. Now we need to make sure we establish our trajectory towards God. That's the direction that we're heading. And as you know, we often kind of swerve off to the side and end up way off where we should be. The beautiful part is we can turn right back, face God, and again, our trajectory is perfectly aligned towards Him. So we need to concentrate on our trajectory and then re-traject. I don't know. Is that a word? Is that a word, Catherine? Yes, re-traject. Awesome. And then we could be doing all that and continually trying to consecrate ourselves and turn ourselves back to God over and over. But then sometimes we feel like we're doing it, but we're walking in mud. You know, we're trying to run in mud. And we're just like, every step is just like so burdensome. And just, you know, you're just like, oh, you don't feel like you're gaining any traction with God. And God is infinitely interested in our pursuit of Him, that our velocity, that we would move towards Him in an efficient and powerful way. And so we just talked about, you know, just dropping those muddy boots, heading towards Him. God wants to fill us with life to the abundance. That's what He does. That's who He is. So we don't just walk the line of holiness. We can actually run and have a life that's full. So we talked about muddy boots. And then last week we talked about sometimes we just feel trapped. Right? Like that monkey. If you didn't see the message last week, a monkey, the best way to trap a monkey is just to put some fruit or a banana down in a hole that's just big enough for his hand. But when he grabs that fruit and tries to pull it out, he can't because of the clenched fists. And he'll stay there, trapped, until the captor comes and just easily throws a net. He won't even release it then. And I know a lot of us feel that way. In life, we just feel trapped by our patterns or our addictions or expectations, or you fill in your blank, but we just feel trapped, like we can't get away from that no matter how hard we try. And God is like, yes, you can. Drop the banana, you dumb monkey. I'm sorry, that's the way he talks to me, like I said last week. So drop the banana, you dumb monkey. Like, you can be free. God has given us everything for life and holiness through His Son, Jesus. That's the life we're called to, and that's the life He has equipped us to. And so that's kind of where we've been. This is a wonderful verse that we talked about specifically last week. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We could just read that over and over, and then go home. Is that a good idea? That there's just so much meat in that, so much truth that we can take personally. And I love just kind of wrapping it, putting it in this. It's for me. When I'm going through this, and I've been through it in the last couple weeks, the enemy's just hitting me, because we're on a good path. And so he wants to stop that. So here's what I do. I concentrate on submit, resist, draw near, repeat. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, and he comes near to me. That's beautiful. That is perfect. That's what I need every day. And we need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, because we tend to leak the Holy Spirit. So what does this look like? Yeah, this all sounds great, but how do we do this? What does it look like? Well, it's just, in a nutshell, it's just quality time with God. One-on-one time with him, in his word, reading this love letter he's wrote to us called the Bible, the word of God, and praying. What is prayer? It's just talking with him, being honest with him. I had a conversation with Zach. I'm like, Zach, I know you're hurting. He's not feeling well. He just got strep throat. God love him. And he's just hurting. And I said, I want you to tell God that. It was just this sweet kind of thing that came over me. Just tell God that you're hurting and that you're frustrated and that this doesn't make sense and why me? Tell him all of that. And then add a comma, but God, I trust you. I know you're with me. I know you're going to get me through that. We always need to transition in that. So that's kind of the how. So what does that look like? But let's just be honest. Life happens too. We cannot, you know, I don't think any of us are enrolling for, you know, a monastery or a convent where we can just do that all day, every day, right? Where we can just spend time in prayer and meditation and reading the word. We have our little bouts of that. But if in a 24-hour period, we also have some other things to do, right? Maybe it's work, maybe it's school, maybe it's grandkids, maybe it's this and that. We have stuff to do, right? We have life. So if you take an hour, we probably all spend an hour in the word and prayer every day, right? I know, we don't. It's okay. Let's get there, though. But if we take all that together, we got 8 hours of sleep. We've got 1 hour at most, probably, of spending time with him. What do we do with the rest of our day? Do we just kind of leave God at home? You know, it's like, hey, love you, God. See you when I get home. And I'll pray at my meal. I'll talk 15 seconds to you then. And then we'll pray at night with the kids. Okay, we'll see you. Love you. Bye. No. So what do we do with that chunk of time from our quiet time to quiet time? Well, that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. And I want to kick off this series. The series, as you see, is Where I Find God. And I want to kick it off with this video.
Rock bottom, sitting on an old bar stool. He paid my tab and put me in a cab, but he didn't have to, 'cause he could see I was hurting. Oh, I wish I'd got his name, 'cause I didn't feel worth saving. But he saved me just the same.
Stay back to Nashville, the Chevrolet with
if it's just me or not, but part of where I'm going with this series that I believe God wants us to get is that I don't know about that was Larry Fleet. I don't know about him. I don't know where he is with God, but I know he wrote, he was able to communicate something that attached my heart to God. And in that very song, I was able to feel and experience God. I look at that little baby just smiling and wanting to bite on the fishing rod. I'm like, I see God there. That's where I find God. And he talks about in there. Let me read kind of the chorus of this. From a bar stool to that Evinrude. And Evinrude, I think, is a boat engine, right? Do they make boats also? I think they make boats too, I'm assuming. From a bar stool to that Evinrude, Sunday morning in a church pew, in a deer stand or a hay field, an interstate back to Nashville, and a Chevrolet with the windows down, me and him just riding around. Sometimes, whether I'm looking for him or not, that's where I find God. And that's what I want, that's what I feel like God is questioning and challenging us with, is where do you find God? Where are you looking? And kind of a big statement with that is this here. He wants us to know this. God is not only found in the sacred, he is found in the secular. Now, sacred just means these holy things, you know, in a church building and in a church pew, as the lyrics go. And then the secular is kind of outside the church walls, if you will, things that are not holy, but are just normal. But here's the deal. Scripture is very clear. Okay, it's not very clear about this, but it makes it, if you're looking, you can understand that there is no difference between sacred and secular. If you look at the Jews, they had a way of looking at everything, and their work was worship. And going to school was worship. Their pursuit of their spouse and being good fathers to their kids was worship. Everything to God is sacred if you'll let it be. Now, you can do your best and do a separation of church and state, a church and marriage, a church and this, a church and that. You can be all about your sacredness over here. And of course, I go to church and I pray sometimes too. And this is my sacred life. And then over here is my secular life. You know, I have to go to work and I do all these other things, but I don't really kind of bring God into that. And God is like, are you kidding me? God is not a piece of your pie. God is the entire pie. Those things that we do, we go to work and this and that, those are all pieces of the pie. God is the entire thing. He wants every part of our lives. He does not want you to separate sacred from secular. And if you're doing that, then you and him have some issues to work out. So another way of saying this is just, he is in the subtle just as he is in the spectacular. God can be very subtly, he's very subtle in where he shows up and where you can find him, as well as the spectacular. And then finally, I really like this, he is in the common and the ordinary just as much as he is in the supernatural and what we call the extraordinary, the extraordinary. God is in every detail. He's in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all the way in between. He is in the midst of your worst storm, and your world is caving in all around you. He has never closer to you than he is in that moment. Even when, you know, you can lift up those events, a marriage or the birth of your kids or those awesome, great moments. Yes, God is there in that spectacular moment. But he's also over here in your day-to-day, your common, your ordinary. He is available constantly and continually. So maybe you're asking, you know, why is this important? What's the big deal? Okay, I get your point. Yes, there's a sacred and secular. There's supposed to be one. But what do I do with that? You know, I'm a marketing guy at heart. You know, what's in it for me? You know, that Wyndham statement. Well, here's what's in it for you. If we knew, and I mean really knew, that God was with us every moment of every day, in every circumstance, in us and with us, and orchestrating every detail of our lives for our best and for his glory, wouldn't that make a difference? Think about it. Does that make a difference to you? Number one, do you believe that he is with us in every step we take, every moment of every day, every circumstance, good and bad? Do you believe that he is with us and in us? And not only that, but he is working towards our best. Those who put our trust in him and say, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm going to do everything I can to serve you, God. Do you believe that he is going before you in your day today and this week and next month, knowing he's going there and he's juggling all these balls together and orchestrating this perfect reality for you? And it may not look exactly like you want it. You may not call it good, but let me tell you, he's telling you it is good. It's your best if you just submit to it. Submit, draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to us. If we knew that, wouldn't it change everything? It really should. It needs to. It has to for our own lives and for the lives of those around us. We deserve it. They deserve it. And it's what God has called us to and equipped us to accomplish. So I love this phrase here. Laura quotes it quite a bit. I don't know. Did you write this? Is this your quote? I'm going to call it Laura's, but it just says, I see you, God. I love that. She sees it in the sunrise and the sunset when we go to the mountains and the face of that little kid, that little baby biting on that fishing pole and all these different things. It's like, I see you, God. I see you. I know you're at work. And that's a great, great start. I love that. I see you, God. But it's more than just seeing him. We need to investigate and respond. And here's why I know that. Because I could see God in my life early on for about the first 25 years of my life. I could recognize God. I could go to Colorado and look at the mountains and stargaze and see every star he ever made out there. And I can go to a beach and see that. And I recognize God early on. But I didn't do anything about it. And I had no real relationship with him. So I see you, God, is a great start, but there's more to it. It's stepping into that experience and saying, God, I find you, I recognize you, and I want to take that goodness and that glory and apply it to my life. I want it to change me. I don't want to just see it. I want it to be changed by it. This is probably one of my favorite quotes in a very, very long time. I can't imagine a better quote. If you are looking for God, God will find you. That's it right there. You know, we feel like, so even in the title of this, Where I Find God, do we really find God? Kinda, yeah. We position ourselves and we turn our hearts. It's a heart posture that we're going to talk about. I can turn myself to and be open to, and I can be available where into finding God. But at the end of the day, if you are looking for God, God will find you. Period. End of story. Let's go get lunch. And I like kind of saying it like this too. If you do the seeking, he'll do the finding. That's me, and I feel like I should be from Perry County and talk like this when I say it, okay? If you do the seeking, he'll do the finding. I'm less sophisticated than this St. Agnes, St. Matthias of Loyola. But that's it. Isn't it so true? We know that. And the times that we've actually put ourselves out there and we're looking for God, he's the one that finds us. We know that. We understand that. There's nothing we can do to reach towards and touch the hands of God. All we can do is reach towards him, and he comes the rest of the way. We take a step towards him, and what does he do? He runs towards us. Dirty, broken sinners who don't deserve a good God. We just don't. We are sinful at our very nature. Even after we turn towards God and he has given us a new spirit, we still have these old body suits that we wear around. Yes, we're born into the Spirit of God and we have this mind that's being renewed daily. Yes, but we're still broken and decrepit. So as we reach to him, God runs and he grabs us and holds us and, man, I've got a good plan for you today. I laughed as I thought of this, that God would literally be the worst hide and seek player ever. He just would, because he doesn't hide well. He's very, if you're looking for him, you're going to find him, period. You know, so he wants to be found by you. He's not making it difficult. And when people tell me, man, I just can't seem to connect with God, I'm like, oh, it's your fault. It's not God's. He's not hiding. He doesn't hide his will. He has such good plans for us. Are you spending time with him? Will I shut up long enough to hear him and just listen to him and just soak? If we're looking for God, he's going to find you, period. If you are struggling today, and I don't mean to sound hard or uncompassionate, because I know we struggle with things, and there are times we feel like, I just can't connect with you, God. But that is, you are so close to him. If we just, at that moment, say, God, I am frustrated, I am undone, I am burnout, I need you. You have never been closer to him than you are at that moment. So he's not, I laughed at this too. His name is not Waldo. You know, where's Waldo? His name is not Carmen Sandiego. Do you guys remember that one? Where in the world is Carmen? Yeah, he's not. He wants to be found. Okay, and then I went even further and I said, do you know his name? God's name is actually Howard, as in Howard be thy name. Yeah, that just happened. I know. It was horrible, but I had to write it down because I love that joke. Howard be thy name. Okay, let's turn this back to the sacred. Acts 17, see what I did there? Acts 17:27 says this, his purpose, that's always a good start. When you read a scripture like that, I want to know God's purpose. Let me read on. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. And I like this, seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards God. And this has, in the original language, is kind of like a blind person groping along. Or if you've ever been in the middle of the night, you get up, there's no lights on, and what, oh, but meow, you know, all these things, like we're groping around, we're trying to find. And that's this idea. We are in this dark world, and we need to feel our way towards God in darkness, and he's gonna be found by us. So we grope our way around and find God. And I love this last part, though he is not far from any of us. Any of us, all of us, you can't be far enough and dead enough in the pit of your sin far away from God. Now, yes, God the Father cannot be in the presence of sin. That's why Jesus was brought to earth on our behalf. Jesus is that mediation, that go-between. He is God, and he allows us to come to God, again, through his son, Jesus. He's never far from any of us. If you are looking for God, God will find you. Here is an illustration that President Reagan, I guess, told over and over and over, so much that his staff would like roll their eyes like, here he goes again. And my dad did the same thing with me. Like, told this, I get it, Dad. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Worried that their 5-year-old twin boys had developed extreme personalities, one a total pessimist and the other a total optimist, their parents took them to a psychiatrist. First, the psychiatrist met with a pessimist. Trying to brighten his outlook, the psychiatrist took him to a room filled with all the newest toys, games, and even a nice shiny new bike. But instead of yelping with delight, the little boy burst into tears. "What's the matter?" the psychiatrist asked, baffled. Don't you want to play with any of these toys?" "Yes," the little boy exclaimed, "but if I did, I'd probably only break them or maybe fall off the bike and get hurt." Next, the psychiatrist met with the optimist, wanting to test his outlook in less than ideal circumstances. He took him to a room filled wall to wall with horse manure. But instead of wrinkling his nose in disgust, the optimist emitted just the yelp of delight the psychiatrist had been hoping to hear from his brother, the pessimist. The boy clambered to the middle of the heap, dropped to his knees, and began slinging horse manure left and right, scoop by scoop, with his bare hands. "What in the world are you doing?" the psychiatrist asked, just as baffled by the optimist as he had been about the pessimist. "With all this horse manure," the little boy replied, "there must be a pony in here somewhere." Love that story. You know, if you ever want to tell someone, hey, you need, we sit around our house all the time, find your pony. But I just love the idea. And this guy, and this little boy's heart, you know, yes, it's a made up story. But how true is it that if in our hearts we are searching for God with such enthusiasm and we're searching for him in the manure that is this world right now. Slinging everything, boom, I don't care if there's a storm. I don't care about the political unrest. I don't care about the racial injustice. I do care about the racial injustices, but hear me out. Like, I'm not letting that derail me. No matter how chaotic and unpatriotic and whatever this whole world is and how sinful this and that and these people are, I don't care. I'm looking for God, and by God, I'm going to find him. Because I'm gonna search for him, he's gonna find me. If I'm slinging through the manure of this world, God is gonna come and say, boom, here I am, every time, every time. It's really about our heart posture, even more than our holiness. Yes, God calls us to be holy, he equips us to be holy, all of that, yes. But he is really concerned about your heart. What is your heart posture? Are you looking for him and failing? You're still on a good path, because if you look for him, he is going to be found by you, and he's going to help you not to fall over and over and over and over. Again, that's who he is. That's what he does. Matthew 5:8 says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Do you guys remember this from the Sermon on the Mount a series ago? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." That's his promise. Jeremiah 29:13-14. "If you look for me wholeheartedly," I love that word, with all your heart. Are you giving it your all? Are you looking completely and totally, like really going after God? "You will find me. Again, I will be found by you," says the Lord. Great promises. And again, take them to the bank. This is our God talking to you, to me, to all of us at the same time. Well, the problem is, it's not natural for us to seek God and even to find him. In fact, we want to be on the throne of our own lives. We want to be in control. We want to kind of do this and then have God kind of slide in the back and bring power and equip us to achieve our plans. Maybe that's not you, but that's me. More often than I'd like to admit. But hopefully, you do kind of see that in our own lives, that we are fighting God for the control of our lives. And we just need to kind of just submit and just lay it down and allow him to be in control. And again, as we look at that, the problem is we don't naturally do that. And here's scripture in the Psalms. It's a great place of David and others pouring out their hearts to God. And it says this. Psalm 14:2-3. "The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race, at you and me and all of our lives. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God." There should be a long pause there. Does anyone seek God? "But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one." In us, every one of us, our natural inclination is not to follow him, not to pursue him, not to find him, because we're doing it on our own over here. That's why we needed Jesus. And thank God, literally, for his Holy Spirit that now has changed our desires. Now I, and hopefully you, want God more than anything in my life. And when I do mess up and I fall and I this and that and I sin, I can turn to God and just be grieved with him. And to say, "God, I am sorry." That's what forgiveness is all about, and repentance. "God, I'm sorry that I did this again. But I turn to you, God. I want to find you." Whoosh, boom, he's right there. He's running to us. If we seek to find him, he's going to find us. So here's another great quote I absolutely love by these two scholars, Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump. Have you, and this is just so, there's so much depth in this. Have you, and this is Lieutenant Dan says this to Forrest, "Have you found Jesus yet, Gump?" And in my best Forrest voice, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir. And I, the reason I love this so much is because I feel like this taps into a lot of us, like at different times, and maybe you're right there, completely there. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him. I mean, he's God, right? If he did all this and set this all up, isn't he in charge? Like, it's all up to him, and I'm here. You know, if he wants to break in and do his thing and you know, knock me to the ground and blind me like he did with Paul, hey, I'm here, you know. If we stay there, you know, and I didn't know I was even supposed to be looking at him, for him. Yes, you are. There's the answer. There's God's answer. Yes, you are supposed to be looking for me in everything, all the time, in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Please search for me wholeheartedly. If you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. This is a good dad sitting on the throne, sitting in heaven, saying, please, child of God, you are struggling. You are hurting. Please turn to me. He is like, please allow me to help you. I am right there. I can help you in every situation. I can bring joy and hope in every situation. Whether you're broken and grieving or you're in your worst sin pattern, God can and will break in. But we have to be searching and wholeheartedly asking him to come to us. And just know we are in good company. Jacob, you know, kind of one of our patriarchal founding fathers, if you will, of this faith. In this verse, he had just had a dream. He was on a journey and he fell asleep and had this dream, and angels were coming, you know, to and from heaven and back to earth, and just this wonderful godly dream. And then I kind of laugh it because I had a dream this week that I was chugging Hershey syrup. So like Jacob's got these really cool dreams, and I've got one of me like literally going like with a big container. Oh yeah, full on pouring it in. That's my dream, just to be honest with you. And I've done that in real life too. I'll just, there, it's out there. But Jacob's had this dream. And then when he wakes up, when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, wow, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I love that realization that he is just this acknowledgement, this awareness all of a sudden comes over him. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He's been here all the time. And I just wasn't aware of it. Wow, in this difficult situation that I've had, in relationship, God was there the whole time. And I didn't even realize it. And in my tough times at school, in my tough marriage, and in my grieving over a lost one, a family member, and it's like, oh, it's like, where are you, God? And I love that. I want us to all to move to this place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And I'm changing that from now on. And I want to be able to say, I love the candor or the bluntness of this. How awesome is this place? I want that to be what we say in all kinds of different circumstances where we go through a difficult thing and say, wow, how awesome is this place? God is here. I mean, I thought he was busy with a whole bunch of other stuff, right? Like he's got all these big balls to juggle, and yet he cares about me. How awesome is our God? So, we're doing good on time. So we're in good company. And so my question to you, God's question to us is this. Number one, did you know you're supposed to be looking for him? And you can be honest, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but did you know that you have a responsibility, it's a desire of his. Did you know you're supposed to be looking for him? Or are you just kind of going through the motions of your day, hoping that he'll just show up and do his thing without kind of be opening to it? That's a great starting place just to wrestle with that question. Am I really looking for him? Or am I just kind of rolling with it, you know, every step by step? And then speaking of steps, here's my, what I feel like are our next best steps. All of us, this is homework. Write it down if you have to. We can leave it up here. You can visit it later. This is homework. You have to do this. Please do this. You can if you want. Next best steps, be aware. this week, we are going to go into countless situations, again, good, bad, and all in between. Are you aware of where God is in that situation? This week, I just want you to think about that. Like, am I aware? Am I open to finding God in this? Am I seeking him? Yes, number one, I see you, God. And then inviting him in to see what he wants to speak to us. Are you aware? Your homework is to be aware. Number two, I want us to look for God. I want us to start actively looking, not just reactively and saying, oh, I see you there. I want to be on the lookout. I want to be searching for him. And just practice this throughout the day. When you go into a conversation or you go into school, like, how could God be at school? Doesn't he have other stuff to do? I want us to look for God in every situation, every conversation, everything we do. I want us to look for God wholeheartedly, not just half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. And again, he will be found by you. If you look for him, even in the mundane, in the common, in the ordinary, he will be found by you. His words, not mine. And finally, remember this. Write it down. Put it on your mirror. Write it with a little erasable marker or whatever, dry erase marker on your mirror. Put a little post-it note in your pocket. If you are looking for God, God will find you. If you are looking for God, God will find you. Thank you, Jesus, that all we have to do is take one little step and that he runs to us. All we have to do is reach to him with our hearts and he is going to do the rest. He is going to run towards us. I am excited, I am expectant, and I am hoping that you will embrace this as a direct encouragement from God. And I want to hear those stories. I want you to really put these into practice. And I know sometimes we say, next best step, yeah, that's good. It's good in theory. But as we talk about that magical parking lot, as soon as we reach that and we're gone to lunch and Snowmageddon's coming our way, all this goes right out the window, right? I don't want it to. I want us to engage this week more than we ever have in looking for God. And I want you to write down where he has found you. In the little, the common, the ordinary, all of that. I would love to hear it. You can contact the church through info@lifechurchohio.com. That's a good email address. Or me personally. Write to me, Mitch@lifechurchohio.com. I want to hear those stories. It's going to encourage me. And if you're okay with it, I want to speak it to other people so that next week I can come back and I can, you know, I can say that, hey, Tabby had this thing happen. It was the most ordinary kind of common thing with her and Addie. And boom, God showed up and it was really awesome. How cool. God was in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. But this week, we're going to be aware of it. Will you do that with me? God's going to meet us right where we are. All right, I think that's enough for today. Go ahead and stand up with me if you would. And I just want to pray, kind of in the same lines that I was speaking, that we would all just take that step and watch how he shows up. So Lord, we just pray that you, thank you that God, you are going to do the bulk of this work, God, that we simply will just kind of turn our hearts to you, knowing that you are going to run to us. You are going to do this work. You are going to empower us and equip us to recognize you, God, that as we search for you, God, that you will be found by us. I just pray for each one of us in this room and those watching online against bad patterns and habits and expectations and those bad reasons why we feel like we can't come close to you. Thank you, God, that you have made a way to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. I just pray that you would surprise us with how and where we find you. We love you. We trust you. We are excited and expectant. Just come, Holy Spirit, and be with us today, this week, until we meet again. And I just pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, have a great week. Please be safe. If you would, just go ahead and have a seat where you are. We're going to release you row by row. We're going to start over here with David. Yeah, we're going to...